Redeeming the Time. On January 2017, scientists moved up what's called the doomsday clock to 11:57 and 30 seconds. It's moved up 30 seconds. That's the farthest it's been towards midnight, which represents the end of the earth. Farthest has been there since 1953. We are indeed the first generation that's capable of wiping out the entire earth and the population of the earth in a moment of passion. God would allow that. I think it would happen. You look, we've got some real nuts running countries right now. I'm not going to say which ones they are, but you know that nuclear weapons are a toy in their hands. So it's a sobering time for many. Despite this threat that we have, this age is still filled with hate. Why? Talked about some of that. You cannot legislate morality. You can pass a law, but a law just says this is how you behave. But you cannot legislate morality. Only a heart can be turned that way. Religions today, unfortunately, add a lot of confusion. Their confusion is not reassurance to anyone about what's going on. And so, Pastor Russell, in this section where I got the title for this, is in this section, he has a quote, "How many of the Lord's people are fools?" Now, that's not a very nice thing to say, is it? But his point was, in a situation like we are, even his day prior to World War I, was a pretty chaotic world in our world, to be caught up in the fanciful things of the world in a situation like we are, it's probably not the best thing. And if you do that, it's a foolish act. And that's really what he's getting at. Instead of getting caught up in that, as we've heard in the last couple of days, we should be caught up instead with praise and thanksgiving. Let's read just this section of what he says here. "Instead of intoxication with the spirit of the world and its ambitions, we are to be so filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that our chiefest joy, chiefest blessing, will be in giving thanks to the Lord for His goodness, in maintaining a fellowship of heart with Him, and then additionally, having fellowship one with another, with those who are in the truth in the Lord." Brethren, that's what our discussion has been the last couple of days. How do we enhance this praise and thanksgiving? How do we enhance these things in walking after God? My friend Todd Alexander, who I asked him if it was all right if I could embarrass him, Todd always says, you got to call people to action. That's what we want to do, brethren. Let's take what we had and let's put together a plan to go forward, putting these walks more in our life. And the way I want to do that is to put them in brief, in an action setting. What is it we need to do that we've heard these last 2 days in order to be a more effective follower of Jesus? Number one, we need to rise above worldly characteristics. Number two, to the extent possible, we need to be known for only good works. Number three, we need to be an ambassador for Christ. Number four, we need to be independent in our thinking. Number five, we need to nourish a spirit of service to the brethren and to others. Number six, we need to light and salt the world. And number seven, we need to protect our new creature. These are the seven actions that we need to take out of this walk. One of my favorite passages in all of Pastor Russell's writings is the concluding thoughts chapter of volume one. And this is the concluding thoughts. So in that, I'm not going to quote it, but you know what he does. He says, after you've read all this plan and you understand what the Lord is doing and what He's doing, what are you going to do about it? It's not just to go up here. It's to cause some action in your life. And if you are truly one of His, it will absorb, become the all-encompassing focus of your life. That's a pretty powerful statement, but that's really what it is. That's what our knowledge is for. And so as we look at these seven things we want to talk about, how do we put these in place in our life? Let's look at number one. Rise above worldly characteristics. George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it." Brethren, the farther down the end of the age we are, the less popular are the things we stand for and the things we represent. So expect your philosophy of life in following these seven things not to be popular, not to be a big hit with anyone. If we expect that, then we won't be disappointed. But you will have something that none other has. Volume 5, page 256, in the chapter called The Spirit of a Sound Mind. Here's a quote that I think each of us should take to heart. The man who has come into possession of the spirit of a sound mind has much advantage every way over the remainder of mankind. For the spirit of a sound mind is a spirit of wisdom. Such an one values more correctly than others the things of this life, wealth, fame, social position. He sees that fame is a very hollow and very transitory thing. He sees that society is shallow. Even to the most successful, life means comparatively nothing in the end. We had a general counsel where I worked, and the general counsel, the chief lawyer, had a sign in his office on his back desk, and it said, "He who has the most toys wins." It's kind of the spirit that we see. Brother Allen talked about his life and what was striving for, and that's really kind of where we have it. But the spirit of a sound mind takes us beyond that. So what do we do? Brethren, we set priorities. And that's what we should do to rise above. Matthew 6, 19, 21. Jesus told us what we need to do. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them, and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This picture is a Tiffany diamond that was discovered in 1878, then worth over $2 million. What did Solomon say? What is the value of things except in the eye of the beholder? Diamonds are like art. You know, it looks good, but what does it produce of value in your life? Our priority in life is to try to become like Jesus. That's our number one priority in rising above worldly characteristics. And that should be our goal, to emulate Him in our life. Our number two action, to the extent possible, be known for only good works. Romans 12, 17 to 21 says, Do not pay anyone back with evil for the evil he does to you. Instead, focus your thoughts on what is right in the sight of all people. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live in peace with all people. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. For if he is thirsty, give him a drink. If you do this, you will pile burning coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. The wisdom and spirit that we have gained through our work and study should elevate us above worldly passions. Let's take a closer look at this. There's something in here that has always bothered many and bothered me. Paul advises us here, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If you will do this, you'll pile burning coals on his head. That's a really odd statement, isn't it? And we've heard many explanations. Well, you teach him what for. Well, that doesn't seem quite right. You know, how is that loving your enemy? So let's take a closer look at this. What does this really mean? If you were to go in the Bible lands, and actually even in Africa, I had a picture of Gretchen carrying something on her head practicing in Africa, but I couldn't find that picture. But those of you that have been to Africa know the sisters there are very good at carrying things on their head. Almost everything was carried on the head. You had water jars, baskets of fruit, vegetables, fish, anything. And if they carry it, that burden, they would rarely touch it with their hands, very good at balancing it. They walk crowded streets, they go everywhere with almost perfect ease. In the early homes in the days of Jesus, many of the fires they had were kept in what was called a brazier. And it was used for just simple cooking inside the house. It was also used to produce heat. No furnaces, couldn't turn on the thermostat to warm things up. So they always kept this burning for either food or heat. If it went out, then somebody in that family had a duty. Somebody in that family had to take that brazier to a neighbor's house and borrow fire
from them.
And they would lift that brazier then with the fire to their head and start for home. If the neighbor was really generous, he would heap that brazier full of coals. So to feed an enemy and give him drink, Jesus said, was like heaping the empty brazier with live coals. What did that mean to your enemy? It meant food. It meant warmth. Almost life itself, if you think about the person at that home needing it. It was a symbol. That was an idiom of the finest and highest generosity one could reach. This is how we treat our enemies, by giving them love. Brother Allen talked about that in this section on love. That's really what we are to do. This is walking, and this is the extent possible being known as good works, even to those who despise us. You have a chance to do something good to someone that doesn't like you. This is Jesus' command to do it. Number 3, be an ambassador for Christ. Let's look at reprint 5080. The title of this reprint is called The Mark of Crystallization of Character. This is what the pastor says. God's standard of character is perfection, which must be maintained by loyalty and obedience under whatever tests He permits to come to individuals upon any plane of life. No one will get the prize of everlasting life unless he successfully passes those tests. Wow, that is pretty burdensome, isn't it? Character perfection. Is that really possible now? Jesus says in Matthew 5:48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If we look at the revised version, improved and corrected, but slightly different, says, ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Jesus is talking here at the time he's giving the Sermon on the Mount and those 7 characteristics. It's given at the end of that Sermon on the Mount. And that word that's used there is the Greek word teleios, which means a point that's aimed at. It's a conclusion. It's the result of something. So I think what we have here is really our loyalty and obedience. If we can follow these 7 steps that were laid out for us here, loyalty and obedience to God in all cases, to the very best of our ability, the very best intentions and execution of that, the result and the reward will be perfection. We will indeed be able to be like our Heavenly Father. We can never achieve it in this life, but we have that promise if we walk in the way and our intention and loyalty is there, God will reward us. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul uses this phrase that we should be ambassadors for Christ. Back in 1951, when the State Department was set up to provide ambassadors to all the countries, it was a really difficult time. And America sent out a lot of ambassadors, and many times they were not very popular. And a book was published at that time called The Ugly American. It became a movie later with Marlon Brando, if you ever saw it. It's pretty good. But it talked about the difficulties of being an ambassador, of being from another country in a country's world, in this country's world. And it gave some guidelines to those that were there. Brethren, I think Paul's telling us our citizenship is not in this world, but we are ambassadors for Christ in this world. So what is it we should reflect in this ambassadorship? 6 things that were here that I think are appropriate for us to think about. 1, the highest personal integrity. 2, being alert to problems and the dignity of individuals. As I said yesterday, we can't change the world, but we can change the world of one person. Objectivity, not getting caught up in the issues and the opinions, but staying objective. 4, being independent, not allying ourselves to a particular group. And this is talking about our ambassadorship in the world, making sure we don't get entwined within a certain philosophy or agreement. 5, the development of others. We should be concerned at helping those in the world, as we heard earlier today, those that are struggling to get out to the extent that they want to change their lives. 6, an interest in the major problems of the day. I mentioned, you know, if you're there and you think the world's going to be blown up, that's a pretty burdensome thing carrying on you. We ought to have an interest in helping people through that. I remember Brother Carl Hagensick used to say, sometimes we can be so spiritual that we're of no earthly good. And we want to guard against that, brethren. We want to be there as that wise person that was talked about with the spirit of a sound mind. If we can be there, people will know that we march to a different drummer, and we will be able to provide comfort even to those that are troubled. Fourth thing we should walk is to be independent in our thinking. We are walking in a narrow way, and we need to activate our beliefs. They're not just to us so that we know what's right, but we must proactively exercise those beliefs. We must put those principles to work. From reprint 4006, another quote I like very much. The Lord wishes us to learn, not as children, certain fixed rules, but as philosophers, the fixed principles which can be applied. All who have been begotten of the Holy Spirit of love will perceive that the principles governing the new creation are a very wide application indeed. Brethren, we can apply those principles to be independent from the world and yet still be an example to them. Anyone recognize this person? Who is it? Isaac Newton. Every Bible student knows Isaac Newton, or should. I think Isaac Newton was used of God in many ways. He lived between 1642 and 1727. He was remembered as one of the greatest scientists of all time. But, you know, Newton's first love was Christianity and non-conforming Bible study. His books are available, some of them, if you've had them. His book, His Treatise on Daniel, is an amazing book. But he has many unpublished works. Unpublished works on biblical prophecy, on the times of restitution, translation, manuscript errors, chronology, Ezekiel's temple compared to the New Jerusalem, the Great Pyramid, and the measurements as a witness. That's what he really loved. That's what he promoted whenever he could. But he was willing to suffer because of that in his independence. As great as he was a scientist, he was never allowed into the Royal Society of Scientists. Why? Because of his public anti-Trinitarian positions. It kept him out of the Royal Society. And to this day, only about 4 of his works have been published. They were suppressed after his death. He was able to maintain that independence in his thinking. So even though he had a mighty position, he was able to stand apart and recognize what was really important in his life. Number 6, nourish a spirit of service to the brethren and others. We've heard this today, exercising a proactive thing about love. One of the scriptures that we heard and used in this reprint article was Colossians 3:16. I'd like to read it from the Rotherham version. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude, raising song with your hearts unto God. Brethren, our experiences, our studies, they do give us wisdom, as we said. And based on that knowledge of God, our study, our meditations, our prayer, using the benefits of the Holy Spirit, allow us to learn much. And they make us, and even our life, an example. We're an example to others that are walking in the way. How many of us can name those that went before us that inspired us onto higher things? We all had mentors in the truth, and they're a powerful thing. But also, our commitment to this way of life, this walk that we're taking, these 7 walks, are example to those that are truly seeking God. What's the first thing that attracts most people to the truth? Right, I heard that. The brethren. What is it that motivates these people to be like they are? That's the example you show to others when you follow this way. I have to find out more about this. So that commitment we make is a true example to those that are seeking. So the fellowship of our body, the body of believers, should be a priority. Not some self-seeking opportunity to expound our particular views, but an opportunity to encourage others, to be attuned to the needs of those that perhaps need things. That's how we make ourselves need less. Now, this person I didn't talk to, and I don't want to embarrass by name, but there's a person in the picture that you see up here. That is a prime example of sharing commitment to the brethren. Someone that's willing to go and take care of someone wherever they are, whenever they need it. So what an example that we can set in that kind of activity amongst ourselves and amongst others. Have a little time. When my mother was broke her hip, she couldn't stay in her house by herself. And a sister from Poland came and spent 6 months with her and took care of her during that whole time. It was a wonderful experience for us, wonderful experience for her, and so many have given that example. Brethren, that's how we lay our lives down. That's how we show our commitment. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8, 3-5 says, I testify that according to their ability, beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. This, not as we had expected. Paul didn't expect this. He got more than he expected. What a great example. When Jesus said in John 13, you call me teacher and Lord, you're right. I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you must also wash each other's feet. I've given you an example so that you may do as I have done for you. Brethren, let us make a commitment here to do more, as much as we can, at this particular aspect of our walk. I'm going to suggest three A's for each of us to work on. The first A, acceptance of others. Don't fashion a spiritual straitjacket around those that you meet. Be more accepting and you'll have more opportunity to influence behavior. Sometimes we get upset, but once we gain the confidence of someone, once we gain their trust, once we gain a commitment from them, we are able to offer advice in a much better way. There are many of us that get a bit crusty at times. And so it behooves us to really not focus on that as much as the opportunity we have to change behavior through gaining confidence and trust. The second A, approval of others. When you have a hard time with someone, look for something to approve in them. I bet you can find at least one thing you'll approve of anyone, especially amongst the brethren I'm talking. But this application is even outside. Family, perhaps. Let that person know you approve of that behavior or that particular practice. You know what? Soon the number of approvals is going to grow. If you're impatient with somebody, find one thing you can approve of. I think usually you can find more than one. But you'll find that you'll develop a stronger and new relationship with them. Number three, the appreciation of others. What's the definition of appreciation? To raise in value. You got a house, appreciates. It increases in value. You got anything. Well, cars don't appreciate. They depreciate. But any of your precious things always appreciate in value. How valuable are the brethren to you? I think we've heard how much they are valuable. How can we let them know? Paul said in Philemon 6 and 7, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Did Paul appreciate Philemon? He certainly did. And I think, brethren, to the extent we can tell others, Brother Allen talked about that little card that was in his Bible at a time when he needed it, say how much he appreciate and encouragement. Let's appreciate one another. Brethren, we walk amongst the best people in the world. I was thinking yesterday about that. I think the Lord has given us the opportunity in each stage of the age to make the church rather small so that we could get to know so many so well. Because we can appreciate each other and the work that we're going through. Yesterday was a great appreciation day when we could understand all the difficulties and trials that some have gone through. That's how we appreciate the brethren. We can value them more because of what they've done. Those things are what help us to develop a higher degree of love that we heard in the last talk. Reprint 24:47, Brother Russell says, in our ministrations to others, we are not to forget that money is not the only thing of which people are sorely in need. Some need love and sympathy, down a little lower. Some need companionship in more or less sordid minds. Even with Jesus, he found comparatively little companionship. But in Mary, he seemed to find the depth of love and devotion, which was to him an odor of sweet incense, of refreshment, of invigoration, a tonic. Brethren, can you be a tonic, a salve to someone in need? Certainly you can. It's not about giving something physical. Sometimes it's just emotion or just being there. Number 6, light and salt the world. Reprint 37:37. We have this quote. We are to exercise our salt, our preservative influence, our influence for righteousness and truth. Whether men hear or forbear, though we see clearly, it is not God's purpose to enlighten the world through the church in its present humble position. The matter will test us and prove whether or not we're worthy to be members of the glorified body of Christ, which shortly shall shine forth as the sun in the glory of the Father, and enlighten the whole world in a manner with which our little lamps of the present time will in no sense compare. We read on in reprint 1840. According to the scriptural standard, the elect church of Christ should be the most polished, the most refined, the most polite, the most generous, the most kind of all the people in the world, and should be all these in the most absolute sense, not in the mere sense of an outward form, an appearance of kindness, gentleness, so common in the world, but a gentleness, a kindness proceeding from the heart, proceeding from an appreciation of the Lord's Spirit. Brethren, that's the walk. That's those 7 walks we're in to develop that kind of commitment, character. Think about that. And as we work on those characteristics, this is the goal we're striving for. I mentioned, this is perfection. We're trying to get there to the best of our ability. Number 7, protect your new creature. This is a canary, in case you didn't know it. A man had a canary whose song was unusually beautiful. So during the summertime, he said, you know, what a shame to have this bird cooped up in here as beautiful as he's singing. And so I'm not going to keep it in the house. He decided to hang his cage in this nearby tree outside so that could enjoy the sunshine, the fresh air, but that others could enjoy his song. The other birds can enjoy it. Well, of course, if you have a bird feeder, you know, or a bird, hang a bird outside. Soon the sparrows were attracted to the cage. First, the canary was kind of frightened, kind of scared. But after a while, kind of enjoyed the company of those birds. Gradually, imperceptibly almost, the canary lost the sweetness of that song. By the end of the summer, his singing was little more than the twitter of those sparrows. Brethren, if we spend our summer in the wrong place, we will be like that canary that caused him to lose his finest song. That's why we need to make the commitment to be with our brethren, to be worshiping as much as we can, to focus our efforts on learning more of God and His way, not spending that time in that environment. That's what will damage the new creature. Let's protect that new creature. So brethren, these 7 things that we've heard about, put in my summary. Of course, you've heard details on each of them. Rise above those worldly characteristics. To the extent possible, be known by others for only good works. Be an ambassador for Christ. Be independent in your thinking. Nourish that spirit within you of service to the brethren and to others. Light and salt the world around you. And utmost, protect your new creature. We're in Amish country here, right? This is actually Amish country in Pennsylvania. Anyone recognize this? Well, this is Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Dutch company, country. There was a movie that came out many years ago called Witness, starring Harrison Ford, for those of you that know who that is. But it was about Philadelphia and someone, an Amish boy who had witnessed at the Philadelphia train station a homicide. And Harrison Ford played a police detective from Philadelphia, and he went out, when he found out that this boy, they ran away, he went out into the Amish country to find the boy and help, and on the way he found out that they were after them, after him. It was an inside job, so he fled into the Amish country, And of course, you're an outsider coming to the Amish country. Very different. You know, the Amish have no lights, no electricity, nothing. And a kind of a peculiar people. But over the time of this, he started looking at what they were doing. He started enjoying the kind of things that they were doing. And eventually, he kind of molded in to the Amish way of life, at least while he was there, and participated. And he grew to love these people. But unfortunately, this is a movie. It's not real life. So at the end, everything gets resolved, and he's got to leave this Amish community, go back to his job in Philadelphia. But the Amish people started to love him too. And they were concerned for him. And there's one statement that they made at the end in giving him a farewell. Brethren, that's the farewell I want to leave with you today. That farewell was, be careful among them English. Let us press to walk in the footsteps of Jesus.